bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Now, Brad Batten is the Shadow Minister for Emergency Services, and we've spoken before on air a couple of occasions about the firefighters' dispute and how this particularly impacts the CFA. We have spoken to the organisation representing the volunteer firefighters. We did previously speak to Jane Garrett when she was the minister. No, haven't put Peter Marshall on air. But Brad Batten, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Macca. How are you?
Pretty good. First off, is the dispute over in a legal sense, or does it still require the Fair Work Commission to sign it off?
Yeah, it's still got a few processes to go through. However, today the VFBV have announced that they're going to be taking this to the Supreme Court to get a further injunction. That would obviously put another complication in place to get it signed. But the board, the current CFA board, would have to put it to a vote with the UFU, which takes about 7 to 10 days. And then post that, it has to go back in and then get signed off by Fair Work. So you're still talking a couple of week process at least.
Okay, so the volunteer firefighters, what is their objection to the agreement? So they've gone back to court to get another injunction. What is the basis of their claim, Brad?
A few of the clauses all relate back to a consultative committee. But the consultative committee is set up in such a way that you can't get agreement if the United Firefighters Union don't agree, because there'll be four from the United Firefighters Union and four from the CFA. If that happens, it'll have to go to Fair Work Commission, and this can be for operational decisions. The Act in Victoria has the chief as the head. He is responsible, and he is the one, or she is the one, that would have to go to the coroner's court if we have a death in the fire services. Okay. Now, taking away their power and giving it across to the UFU, the last thing the chief wants to do is be spending time in Fair Work Commission saying, can I move a truck from one location to the other? Can I move this particular unit somewhere? Or can I put something out for safety? They need to be out there fighting fires rather than fighting against the union.
I think most Victorians, Brad, are really quite confused about this. I mean, obviously you want this resolved from the opposition's perspective. Volunteers do, you know, the government does. But at the end of the day, I mean, this has gone on for an awfully long time. And in a way, similar as the paramedics dispute went on a long time, you know, during when you guys were in government. What is it about the emergency services area that causes such a problem? And I know, you know, there are some really basic issues that you're concerned about, but when you look back at the AMBOS dispute and then now you look at this, the Victorian community want this issue solved. And I think you saw that particularly around the paramedics, that there was a lot of public support for them. Yes, they ran a strong campaign. This one is really quite different, isn't it? Because you've got such a large volunteer organisation and a relatively small group of paid employees. Is it because those two, it's a bit like oil and water, they don't mix?
Oh, no, I should say first, we have an integrated system that does work, where they actually do work together in most areas where you have career and volunteer firefighters, and they do a great job on the ground. What the issue with this one is, the government's trying to force through a deal that the former board didn't agree with, and you just spoke about Jane Garrett before.
Yeah.
There's many people that have come out publicly and said this deal has huge complications for the way the CFA operates and removes the power from the chief. You can't force through a deal just to resolve it if it's a bad deal. That's not good leadership. Good leadership is actually saying, you know what, I'm in for the long haul. I don't really mind how long it takes. If we get what is the best outcome for the whole CFA and the whole community, my concern at the moment is, if Daniel Andrews is out there, he's passed this through his cabinet before the board have actually signed off on it. We've seen this board now, they really didn't have a choice. They had to sign off on it. The former board was sacked. So now it's gone through this stage. The deal there, it's just fundamentally bad to take away the power from the chief. The MFB chief you're in an MSB area where your station is located. Yep. The MSB have already said, they've raised concerns and said this has caused issues with us, and they don't have the added complication of volunteers. So it's going to be a big issue for them, and it's one that I'm... Oh, look, right at the moment, there's only one way to resolve it, and you said, Peter Marshall, you haven't had him on. I'd like to hear his views as well, and I'll say that because, yes, this deal's gone for a long time. It's gone through two governments. It's gone through nearly five ministers, five premiers, two boards, two chiefs, but I could name others that have gone through this. And the only common denominator is Peter Marshall. I think we've started to identify where the problem might be.
Mm. Because, look, the AMBOs, the Ambulance Employees Association, they don't have right of veto or in terms of how AV run their operations. And you know, that component is one of the ones that concerns me the most. Look, there's been a lot of discussion about what is the cost of this agreement, varying figures, you know, from... $160 million up. What do you think the cost of this agreement is going to be, and where do those figures come from, Brad?
Oh, just two quick things. You said the ambulance don't have right of veto. That's true. I'm a former police officer, and it would be unrealistic for any of those emergency services to have right of veto. I think it's a bad thing. With the costing, the government's saying $160 million. There was a leaked document that went to the Age, and they've released that. And that's come out saying it was $663 million. And the former chair said he was advised of $700 million. My indication is it's up above $600 million. That is a huge cost that's going to come from Victorian Fire Service levy. And then the rest, the government will tell you the rest comes from government. Anyone who understands mathematics, well, the rest of the money comes from government, comes from taxes. So effectively, we're going to all have to pay. If you're talking of $600 million when the current budget's around the heart, just under $500 million to run the CFA at the moment, and you're going to go up and you're adding on to that another 50%, that's huge costs to put across this whole system. Or it's going to come from, this is where the volunteers will raise their concern, it's going to come from future infrastructure and future vehicles, etc. They won't be taken out of career stations, they'll be taken out of the volunteer stations.
Yeah. Now, we've seen that you guys have asked the Auditor-General to look at this in terms of the cost of the contract. Is that going to be the only way? You know, we've talked about these figures between 160 and 700 million, I suppose. It is an estimate, or in one way it's speculation, no matter who's written it. The Auditor-General, if he investigates us, will give us that figure. I can't see how this dispute has gone on so long. You know, to me, it's a relatively small number of people. Paramedics was thousands and thousands. And firefighters, I think the UFU has, what, 1,500 members, something like that?
If it's BFA, we're only talking about 800.
Okay. I don't understand why the UFU seem to have so much power in this dispute. And, you know, as you said, it's gone through premiers, it's gone through ministers, it's gone through boards. You're saying, look, you know, really the common thread here is Peter Marshall. When you speak, you know, I'm sure you've spoken to UFU members on the ground. What's their take on it, Brad? What, as well as, we know what a lot of the CFA volunteers say, but what do the UFU members on the ground say to you?
I'd have to be honest, it does vary. Now, the UFU obviously campaigned at the last state election, which everyone's aware of. The ones that I've met, who I've been able to sit down and have a chat with, there's been a few that have raised concerns. They have some issues around the veto power, and that they may or may not agree with it, but they don't feel they're in an environment where they can come out and talk about that. So I would never put pressure on them to do that. There's others. You don't need to go any further than my Facebook to see exactly how some of the UFU members find negotiation via bullying is probably their best way forward. And then one of them, including today, has just said, well, Brad, you're a one-trick pony. What are you going to talk about now that this deal's obviously they're effectively gone through? And my response is quite simple. I'm going to talk about what's right. Yeah. And what's right is 60,000 volunteers don't support this for a reason. Jack Rush QC doesn't support this for a reason. And again, you can go through that list. But I'm not sure where they're going to go now. The UFU style of campaigning relies on community support. And let's be honest, the reality is, we actually all think firefighters are fantastic because when you need them, they're there. If you're in an emergency situation, they're one of the first to turn up. I live out in Berwick. If I have a heart attack, the first people here will most likely be the Berwick CFA and their 100% volunteer station before the ambulance drivers.
Yeah.
So they rely on that public support, but I think at the moment, because of the militant style in the union, they're starting to waver on that support and they are losing some of it. That's a very big negative. We need to get this resolved. We need to make sure the power stays with the chief, and we need to start building confidence in the biggest and best volunteer service that not just Victoria has, this country has, and they are, should be and are proud of.
I think it's a really complex subject, and you know, politics has intruded into it. Look, I think let's in a couple of weeks let's have you back when we see how this plays out a bit further. I really thank you for your time this morning. It is a complex issue, and I appreciate that you gave us the time and filled us in on what your perspective was.
No dramas, mate. Any time you like, I'm always free to have a chat or pop in and have a chat about these issues or other issues in emergency services or my other portfolio environment. I'm sure there's plenty out there interested in both of those portfolios.
There sure is. There sure is. Thank you very much. That was Brad Batten, the Shadow Minister for Emergency Services.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.